the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. If you're able to stand, please stand with me for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Father, we ask You for strength tonight, understanding. Lord, we ask You for grace that we may, Lord, in our own lives be disciplined, that we would abide. And help us to be honest tonight with ourselves as we look at abiding in You. We need grace, Lord, to repent, to turn from our ways and turn to You. Lord, that You'd be glorified in our lives. Thank You for loving us, that we could love You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. John has been speaking to the babes in Christ here in 1 John. Up to verse 27 here, chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. John's been speaking to babes in Christ. It's amazing. I should say amazing is probably the wrong word. He put a lot of time, or there's more words here for the babes in Christ than for young men and for strong men. Often we have to take more time with those who are babes in Christ. Some people require more attention than others do. And we can see that in our own lives. If you have an infant that is just a few weeks old, you can't leave that infant alone like you could a baby that's 6 months old. Would you agree? And so on and so forth. You can't leave a six-month-old baby like you would leave a five-year-old in your home. And then a 10-year-old, 15-year-old, and y'all see what I'm saying. So we have to spend more time with the babes in Christ to help them mature, to feed them the Word of God. Understand that we can't make nobody grow. Amen? And we can't make no one abide, as we'll look at tonight. The title of the message tonight is Our Abiding Interrupted. Our Abiding Interrupted. Here in verse 28, John says, and now, little children. This word here, little children, is not speaking of babes in Christ only. It's speaking of all who were saved. It's speaking of Christians. He's addressing everyone in the church by saying, little children. This is a term of affection by a teacher or a disciple. Again, John is not trying to belittle anyone. He's not trying to make himself be higher than anyone else. But here he's speaking to these people. He's writing this letter to them in a sense of being a loving father, wanting to encourage them, to teach them more in the words, in the word of the Lord. These little children here are converts who are in different stages spiritually. Understand that you and I, we are in different stages spiritually. Even those of us in here tonight, different stages spiritually. Some are babes, some are young men or young women, some are fathers or just older people in the faith. And these are stages that we all must go through. It's a shame to think about this, that there are so many people in churches today who have been saved for years and years and years, yet they're still babes in Christ because they've never grown. Some of them have never been trained, have never been discipled. Some of them don't know how to study the Word of God. Some people can't read real good, and so on and so forth. Others don't want it. Some people say, I don't care how much you give me, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to feed upon it. So there's two types. There's a type that says, I don't know, but I want to know. Then there's the other one that says, I don't know, but I don't want to know. Amen? Some people are content with just coming and sitting on a pew. John started out by speaking to all of them as a whole back in verse 12. Well, we can really say verse 1 of chapter 1. And then he addressed them individually. Now he's addressing all of them again. And this is what he's saying in verse 28. Here we go, verse 28. And now, little children, all of you who are saved, all of you Christians, abide in him. This is a present imperative. This is a command to do something in the future, and it involves continuous or repeated action. Now, understand that these Christians here have been exposed to heresies. John has been refuting these heresies from verse 1 in 1 John here. Some of these Christians, especially the babes in Christ, have been led astray by these heresies. Now, I want you to think about it for a second. Who is it easier to lead astray, a grown person or a babe? A babe. These had been exposed to failure. When a heresy is brought to you, that is exposure to failure. Some of these have failed. Some of these have followed some of these heretics, and now they're paying the consequences for it. We see this today. We are surrounded by what seems to be called the prosperity gospel. And many people flock to that because it sounds good. It's appealing to the flesh. I get to get what I want when I want it. God becomes my puppet. I become God. God becomes a servant. And I say, I want this, 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 and I demand you to give it to me. It's not long and they are maxed out on credit. They've been sucked in. They have failed in the fact that they have not abided in Christ. And now they're paying the consequences for it. Now, folks, understand, when someone's down, we ought not kick them. Amen? When someone's messed up, you don't kick them while they're down. We are to help one another. John is telling them here, don't listen to the heretics, or stop listening to the heretics, and abide in Jesus Christ. One of the results of someone listening to and believing a lie or a heresy is dependency upon self. Dependency upon self. It's pushed big time today, especially in the movement for the ladies. What's that called? The feminist movement. That you are not to abide with your husband. And you'll see what that word abide here means in a second. You are not to depend on your husband, but you are to go out and do things on your own. Now, that's not just with the ladies, that's with anything, teenagers, so on and so forth. So we have this mindset in society today not to abide, not to depend on anyone else, to trust your own common sense, trust your flesh, trust your power, trust your experience over anything else. And if we're not careful, we'll take that into our walk with the Lord. And then we won't abide in Him. We won't trust upon Him. We will simply look to ourselves. All through the Bible, we see results of people who've looked to themselves. We've seen results of people who depend upon themselves. We see what happens to them, yet we still have this tendency. Would you agree? This is something that we all got to fight with. It comes up on a regular basis where we want to make decisions based on our own common sense and not by what the Word of God would have us do. We know we can't trust our feelings or our experiences because they're always changing. We know that. This preacher a lot. We can't trust our own hearts because it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. We are to walk wisely. And understand that when we walk wisely is only when we follow God and follow the Word of God. Turn to John 15, please. This abide in Him, in verse 28, I want to remind you, it's a command to do something. We learned this morning that Brother Shad preached about a discipline in our lives. And so to abide in Christ, this is not something that we just sit down and do nothing and it happens. This is something that we've got to put action into. To abide in Christ means we are to depend wholly on Christ. John chapter 15, verse 1, Christ says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which hath spoken unto you. Look at verse 4, abide, where at? Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, nor can ye except ye abide in me. This word abide here is to be and remain united with Him. One with Him in heart, mind, and will. It means you're abiding in Christ. You are thinking as Christ would have you think. Listen, folks, this does not happen by accident. This is we must put forth effort here. This is, matter of fact, more than just effort, it's a battle. To abide in Jesus Christ, to depend upon Jesus Christ. In this battle, we must put forth much effort. This effort must be mingled with prayer and feeding upon the Word of God daily. The result of this is a life of sanctification with good works, which brings honor and glory to God. And then our joy is full. John 8:12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That word life there, to Zoe. It is the life that satisfies. This word, life, again here, speaks of the blessed life. It's a life that's full of joy because of Jesus Christ. Listen, He is the source and object of that joy. Not material things or anything else or anyone else. But Christ is that joy. Look at verse 5 of John 15. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that, now I want you to look at this now. He that abideth where? In me, and I in him. Watch what happens. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, watch this, and that your joy might be full. That our joy may be full. There is no greater joy for a Christian than for a Christian to be abiding in Christ. Think about it for a second. I want to encourage you right now to just stop and think about when you are abiding in Christ. Now, there's a command there to abide, and there is a if we abide, then it's obvious that we can not abide. Again, this is not talking about salvation. We are secure in Jesus Christ. Amen? This abiding here is an action that we must do. Think about when you are abiding in Christ. You're in the Word. God's revealing the truth to you. You keep going back to the Word because you're enjoying it so much. Amen? I mean, you're having a good time in the Word. This stems further in that you begin to tell others about Jesus Christ. You begin to tell others about what you're learning in the Word of God. You enjoy praying, and you do it without ceasing. Y'all okay tonight? You sacrifice to make time to pray. You sacrifice to make time to read. You have a hatred for your own sins. Amen? And you have compassion on others, whether they lost or saved, because of their sins. You're doing what you do for Jesus Christ. You are filled with the Holy Spirit, which means you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. You walk around with a song in your heart, and it can't help but flow out of your mouth. This is in thought, in word, and deed. You are abiding in Christ. Now, folks, I'm afraid that most people walk around not abiding in Christ. Proclaiming the name of Christ. Saved. Yes, I'm not saying not saved. Saved. Yet not abiding. Not full of joy. That don't mean that bad things don't happen. Keep that in mind. But she had to touch on that this morning. How about this? How many of y'all remember when the Lord first saved you? You was fired up? Excited? Abiding in Christ, right? I mean, you had a love for Christ. You went to bed thinking about Him. You got up thinking about Him. People thought you was crazy. They thought you was just thrown off. What done happened to that person? Christ done happened to that person. Then something begins to happen. Our abiding is interrupted. We may even say, hey, I'm having a good time. I got this. I can do this. I can handle this. And then we begin to do what we do in the power and wisdom of the flesh. Again, I want to be clear in that the abiding that we are talking about here is our walk with the Lord after He has saved us. All who are saved are sealed and secure in Jesus Christ. One of the heresies that was being taught during John's day, and it is all over during our day, is that we are not secure in Jesus Christ. This is a lie that's out of hell. And there are multiple scriptures that tell us that we're secure in Jesus Christ. And that no man, not anything, can separate us from Jesus Christ. We are eternally secure in Christ because of Christ. We see this in Romans 8, the Gospel according to John, and the whole Bible. Amen? Now understand that when we operate in the power and wisdom of the flesh, then we are not abiding in Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. When we are operating in the power and wisdom of the flesh, then we are not abiding in Christ. That means we're not depending upon Christ. This does not mean that we are not still doing those things which we know to do. But now we're doing them without the help and direction of Jesus Christ. Let's look at a biblical example. Turn to the book of Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Can we not, please don't answer out loud, but can we not abide in Christ and yet do right? Look at verse 1 of Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Ain't that good? And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Look, folks, they're doing right. They're trying people by the word of God, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and that's not fainted. Listen, they are still going for Christ. They're teaching, they're preaching. They got all these things going on. They are busy in Christ, or busy for Christ. Look at verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Hang on a second. They're doing all these things, yet Christ has something against them. What is it? Because thou hast left thy first love. This word love is agape. It's affection or benevolence. What are they left? Their love for Christ. They are no longer, listen, abiding in Christ here. They're still faithful to church. They're still faithful to read, to teach, to preach, to sing, to do whatever. They're still doing all these things. Ain't that what he says? He knows their works and their labor and their patience and how they are doing right. They're keeping sin out. They're dealing with sin. They're walking the walk. They're talking the talk. But yet, they have left their first love. They are no longer abiding in Christ. Verse 5. He says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Any of y'all miss that love, that joy? Amen. Their affection here is not presently upon Jesus Christ. They go through the motions. And folks, let me say this. We can all get here. We, you and I, can all get here. I want to give you some indicators of someone who's here. Of someone who has left their first love. Someone who is not abiding in Christ. You have no desire for true prayer or feeding upon the Word of God. You end up with no drive to do the things of God or to be with the people of God. Before, when you were abiding in Christ, nothing could keep you from the Lord or from the people of God. And now you look for excuses why you can't spend time with the Lord or the brethren. Folks, this is a bad place to be. And it affects more than just you. Amen. It affects your family. I want to encourage you to do what he says in verse 5. Repent. Turn back to the Lord. Recognize that you are not abiding in Christ. That you've left your first love. And turn back to the Lord. It is truly a battle to abide in Christ. It's a battle. This present evil world is against us. We know this. I'm preaching to the choir here. Amen. Our own flesh is against us. Turn to the book of Titus, please. Titus chapter 2. That's right in front of Philemon, which is right in front of Hebrews. Right behind 2 Timothy. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. I don't know that we understand how powerful our own flesh is. I try to encourage people to fast and pray. Because it helps you. It helps you see how strong your flesh really is. And how much control that your flesh has over you. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And look what it does. Teaching. Now I want you to see who is teaching. Teaching who? Who's the us here? The saved. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness. This word teaching is to train up a child, to educate, to discipline, to instruct. So the grace of God, listen, is training you and I up and teaching us to denounce or deny ungodliness. This word ungodliness brings with it the thought of either action or thought. These things that come up in our minds and then come forth as an action. Deny these things. It says, and worldly lust. This word worldly is opposite of heavenly and spiritual. It's conforming to this world, belonging to the men of this world. This word lust is a longing, especially to what is forbidden. So he's saying here, deny those things that draw you, especially those things that's forbidden. Does our flesh draw us to things that we ought not have? Does our flesh pull us to things that bring shame to God? And here, the Bible's telling us to deny these things, to denounce these things. We should live how? Soberly. This is with a sound mind. Righteously and godly in this present world. This present world speaks of this present world with its cares, temptations, and desires. The idea of evil, both moral and physical, being everywhere implied. Keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves Deny ungodliness. Deny worldly lust. Live unto Jesus Christ. Live righteous. Live godly. Do right. Live according to the Word of God. Where? When? When we get to heaven? No. Now. In this present evil world. This world with all its temptations, all its cares, that's always pulled on you and I. Is this possible? It's possible. Because if it was not possible, He wouldn't have told us this. Amen? Can we live godly in this day and age? Yes! But only when we abide in Christ. Only when we abide in Christ. We must earnestly contend to abide in Christ. Isn't it amazing how things that are subtle slip in? I want you to think about it. If something comes to your house and knocks on your door, you go to the door, open it up, and it says, it's a big old whatever that says sin. What do? You kick that joker, you punch it, you close the door. Next time the door is knocked on, you go to it with your gun. And it's your in-laws saying, whoa, hang on a second. Amen? It says sin. You did away with it. Why? Because you knew what it was. Knock on the door. Open up. Again, big sign there says, I have come to take you away from abiding in Christ. You say, get out of here. I want no part of you. Then you hear, open up the door, and it says, I'm a dog. Oh, sweet. No, I'm sorry. I'm a puppy. Come on in, puppy. Come on in. Real subtle-like. This is just an illustration. Puppy grows up, becomes a dog. You go here with the dog, and you go there with the dog, and you do this for the dog, and you feed the dog, and you bathe the dog. How many of y'all give y'all's dogs a bath? I ain't never heard of that. That don't make no sense. Amen? That's because I don't have no inside dog. Anyway, but you do all these things with this puppy that's grown up to be a dog now. And you find yourself going through the motions in all these areas. What's happened? You ain't about it no more. Where's your heart and your mind at? On that dog. Now, folks, I like dogs like everybody else does. Don't think I'm putting that on dogs. Amen. If you cook them just right, they're all right. That's a joke. I've never had a dog that I know of. But I'm not saying I won't. But what I am saying is that we can easily... Listen, it's going to come in and pull us out real subtle-like. Oh, Lord, help me. I've been trying not to weep all night. How many of us can get here and be too embarrassed to say I'm here? To be too embarrassed to say I'm not abiding in Christ and not get right? We listen to the lies of the devil. He says, it's been too long. You hadn't abided in forever. Why start now? Everybody's just going to laugh at you. Why start abiding now? Just keep going like you're going. Why remain miserable? Now, you got to admit that when you and I are not abiding in Christ, we are some miserable people. We're miserable. There's not joy there. Not true joy. I'm not saying that there's not spurts of happiness. But true joy the joy that's in Christ is not there. Now, why must we earnestly contend to abide in Christ? Well, because one day He's coming back. One day He's coming back. How's He going to find you? Verse 28 of 1 John 2. 1 John 2, 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. He is coming back. When He comes back, what's going to be in our hearts? Our minds? How about our hands? What's going to be coming out of our mouths? Where will we be at? And what will we be doing? Folks, He is coming back. Those who abide in Christ will have confidence before Him at His appearing. But those who follow after these or any antichrist and are not abiding in Christ, these will be ashamed at Him before Him at His coming. Understand, Christ is coming back. That's not the question, is it? He's coming back. But how's He going to find us? How's He going to find us? You may not be following any antichrist, but have you lost your first love? What is it that has interrupted your abiding in Christ? Titus told us to, or Paul told us in Titus, that we are to reject ungodliness and worldly lust. And folks, if we do this, we will be looking for His return. We won't be attached to this world. Let me say this as we move on here. Our abiding is under constant pressure to be interrupted. Constant pressure to be interrupted. God's grace is sufficient. But to abide is an active choice that we must make daily. Abide in Christ, and we won't be ashamed at His appearing. If we don't abide in Christ, we will be ashamed at His appearing. Abide in Christ. Be active in kingdom work. Amen? Kingdom work. Abide in Christ. We are caught by His grace. To God be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for Your Word, Lord, for the grace You give us to abide. And You, Lord, You teach us, You instruct us, O God. Lord, help us tonight to be honest with ourselves, that we may recognize, O Lord, ourselves, that we would see those things in our lives that have pulled on us, Lord, and caused us not to abide. And Lord, we may see that we've lost our first love. We may be busy for You, going through the motions. We may be building, growing in number, all these activities. But Lord, if we're not abiding in You, we're beating the air. Help us, O Lord. O God, we need Your help. Thank You for loving us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.